Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from our epistle lesson out of Ephesians 5, and especially these words. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light. Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, I'd like you to imagine yourself this morning as a recent convert to Christianity in first century Ephesus. At first, everything is new and exciting and wonderful. You have learned about Jesus and his resurrection. You have learned about the forgiveness of sins and that it is real and that it is for you, and you are forgiven. You still live in that fond remembrance of your most recent baptism and the feelings of that day and being brought into the family of God. Yet, you are still in Ephesus. You're surrounded by a culture that promotes life choices that are now in conflict with who you are because of Christ and your baptism. As you walk the streets of your hometown Ephesus, and you see all the temples and the shrines to the more than 50 gods that are worshipped there, you realize things are different now. You used to be able to walk by, pass by these temples and shrines, and they meant little to you. Now you recognize them as something that seeks to pull you away from what is true, right, noble, and righteous. As if that weren't hard enough, you have friends and family and acquaintances who are still captured by the cultic religions of the area, who still go to temple, shrine, and festival where you now, as a Christian, cannot. As if that weren't enough, they entice you. They desire that you should come along. But now you belong to Christ. Now you are baptized, changed in the way you live. And none of them, friends, family, acquaintances, seem to understand any of that. They don't understand your avoidances of places you used to frequent. They don't understand why you can't come to the festival. After all, it's just so much fun. And the religion is just kind of an overtone. Aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers and sisters, maybe even mothers and fathers, still in the darkness, still in their sin, still without the forgiveness of Christ, and can't understand your new way of life. And yet there's more. If all of that weren't enough, there are also Christians. Christians who would lead you astray. Christians who seem to think they can have one foot in each world, even there in Ephesus. Christians who believe that now that they have the freedom of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, it gives them license to do whatever they want. And so their participation in temple prostitution and in all the things that come with cultic religion doesn't mean anything. For they have Christ and they are forgiven. And they begin to speak to you, you new convert to Christianity, sitting here in Ephesus, and they begin to say, it's okay. You can have both. You don't need to make mom and dad mad because you won't come to the celebration. You don't need to dismiss yourself from friends who are still captured by these other religions. You can do both because you have freedom in Christ. It is precisely to this new convert living in Ephesus, living in a culture that no longer is a part of who they are, that Paul writes. It is to this new convert, caught between darkness and light, pulled towards the darkness while recognizing the light found in their baptism, that Paul writes. And it is hard work being a Christian in Ephesus in the first century. Everything's pulling against you. Everything is seeking to pull you back to what you were. Does that all sound too dramatic to you? Does it sound like I'm over the top with that? I'm not. I'm not because I've experienced it. As a pastor in Logan, Utah, I experienced it. We had a lady there who for years had come to the church, but you hadn't yet said, "Pastor, I want to become a member." Then one day, after church, she comes into my office and says, "Pastor, I'm ready." And she knew what it meant. She knew what it meant to go from Mormonism to Christianity. Darkness to light. But more than that, she knew what it meant for her personally. She knew what it would mean for family and friends and acquaintances she had had for her whole life growing up in Logan. She knew that there'd be a very good chance that she could go into the grocery store and be walking down the frozen food aisle and have a friend turn the corner and start to come toward her and suddenly stop and turn and go the other way. This is what was going to happen. And she knew it. And it came true. She was completely ostracized by everybody she had grown up with. This hometown feel she had was gone. Now she was a stranger in the place of her birth. Now she was shunned, dismissed. She was made out to be the worst part of that culture, an apostate from Mormonism. So when I read Paul's writing to these new converts in Ephesians 5, it rings very, very true for me because I've seen it. And this woman here in Utah was even given the idea that she didn't need to leave Mormonism to be a Christian. After all, in the last 30 years, Mormonism has tried to portray itself as just another Christian church. So she has all these voices, and she's struggling with them, really struggling with them. And her and I pray through them, and her brothers and sisters in Christ, her new family of God, through her baptism, surround her with love and say, "Here you belong. Here you are a partaker. Here you are with us." And by God's grace, and by his work, she's a Christian to this day. But I understand it. I understand being a Christian in a culture that doesn't want you to be a Christian, and so do you. We're not where we used to be. There are tugs upon the Christian life. And it may be hard for me, or at least it was before this experience for this woman in Utah, it was hard for me to understand that. I grew up in the LCMS bubble. I was baptized in an LCMS church to an LCMS family. I went to an LCMS grade school, LCMS high school, LCMS college, and LCMS seminary. I am LCMS, right? So for a long time, I didn't know any better. I mean, church was it. I didn't know there was something outside of that. I didn't know there were people outside of that. But this woman came to give me an understanding of what it was like to have to leave and come into that. To be in a culture that was not Christian, and Mormonism is not, and convert to Christianity in the midst of that. That's what it meant to be a first century Ephesian. The culture you're leaving pervades your life. And it meant leaving that all behind. Taking that brave step. Joshua, in our Old Testament lesson for today, has to do that with the children of Israel, doesn't he? He says, now it's time for you to break with all the stuff that you were before. The gods you served in Egypt, we got that. You were kind of captured and enslaved to that. But this day you must choose whom you will serve. Now you move forward with the true God. I don't know what choice you're going to make, but as for me and my house, we will, you know the rest, serve the Lord. There's a break. There's a line that has to be drawn. And we have to draw it. And we live in a culture that is anti-Christian and seeks to pull us away from our faith in many and various ways. And it used to be you could kind of protect yourself from these things, you know? You could have your Christian circles. But there's no protecting you or your children or your family anymore. It's there, and we have to face it. A few years ago, we went to Las Vegas as a family for one of my daughter's basketball tournaments. And one of the things that struck me in those days we spent in Las Vegas was the amount of stuff I didn't want my children to see that they were seeing. But there was simply no way to shield it from them. Passing buses and taxi cabs, billboards, leaflets on the ground. Don't pick that up. It's everywhere. And as hard as I tried, as much as I said, don't look there, look at the fountain, right? There was no shielding. There were just too many sources, too many things coming from too many different directions. I know what you're thinking. Well, what did you expect? You went to Vegas. I got news for you. You don't need to go to Vegas anymore. It's here. I got news for you. It's in your homes. And you can't shield them. Hard as I try, as many filters as I may put up, as cloistered as I want to make my family, I cannot shield them from it. TV, internet, radio, and their friends simply have too many ins. So what's my job? As their father? As the head of the family? To equip them to deal with it. And that's what Paul does. He has no notion that in any way he can reach out to a Christian in Ephesus and somehow say to them, well, just don't look around. Everywhere you turned in Ephesus, with 50 different gods being served, there's a temple, there's a shrine, there's a festival, oh my gosh, you know? It's everywhere. So it is for us. I can attempt to shield my children and my family from these things, but the digital world is more powerful. So my goal is, my God-given responsibility is to remind my children, my family, my friends, my congregation, who you are. That's what Paul does with these first century Ephesians facing all of this stuff. He reminds them who they are. You are light. That is darkness. Have nothing to do with it. You are baptized. You're in the Lord. You are not part of that anymore. And he gives this great list through this, and I'm going to give it to you really fast, but sometime later this afternoon, go back through Ephesians 5 and look at this. He gives us this list of contrast of who these first century Christian Ephesians were and the world they lived in. The world they lived in is darkness, and it's guilty of sexual immorality, uncleanness, and lust. The Christian is light and has thanksgiving, goodness, and truth. In darkness, they would be engaged in shamefulness, foolish talk, and coarse joking. But in light, they speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In darkness, they were foolish and unwise. In the light of the Lord, they are wise and understand the Lord's will. In darkness, they were sons of disobedience. In the light of the Lord, by their baptism, they are children of light. In darkness, they produce fruitless works of darkness. But in the light, they produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is light. In darkness, they did things in secret. In light, those things are exposed and revealed for what they are. In darkness, they were in fellowship with those who did works of darkness. but in light they are in fellowship with one another through the Spirit. And finally, in darkness they were dead and asleep. In light they are alive and awake. Paul recognizes what these first century Christian Ephesians are facing. A struggle between who they were and who they are. Between the culture surrounding them, attempting to pull them back, and the church, seeking to engulf them with the love of Christ. We share in that struggle between our culture and our faith. Even between Christians who believe there is no contradiction between the culture and our faith. Paul's admonition, his hope for the Ephesian Christians, and for you and I, is that he remind us who we are in our baptism. Paul continues to speak about being in the Lord, being in the light, which are all allusions to the identity we have because of baptism. He even makes it very personal for the Ephesians. Maybe you didn't notice, but when I was reading through the epistle text, there's this one quote in there. You probably can't see it if you don't have it in front of you. But 5 verse 14 looks like an Old Testament quote. You know, it's one of those things that's kind of paired off from the rest of the text. And it reads this: "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Now, it looks like an Old Testament quotation, and it appears as most Old Testament quotations do in Scripture. The only problem is, you can't find it in the Old Testament. It's not an Old Testament quote. And so most scholars believe that it was actually an early Christian hymn associated with baptism. Hear it again: "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Paul's answer to these Ephesians Christians struggling with being in this culture is to take them back to the moment of their baptism. By music and song, by words they know, by this familiar hymn to them, he would remind them who they are, that Christ has shined upon them, and who they are. Paul does the same for you and I. As we struggle with this world, with this culture we have to live in, with all the things we have to face, all the things that invade our homes that we wish we could keep out, we are reminded who we are. We are forgiven, redeemed children of God. We remind our children who they are. They are forgiven, redeemed children of God. And these things, seeking to invade, are not a part of their being. They are in the Lord. They are light in the Lord. They are baptized and redeemed in the Lord. And they are forgiven. And so are you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.